Blog Talk Radio.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Come here!
Actual physical contact!
I love that, so now we're going to use that for the next two shows before we get to show 100, which is 2 weeks away, ladies and gentlemen, just 2 weeks away until show 100.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Whoop it up. Whoop. Whatever that means.
Whoop.
Oh, great. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. I'm Robert Saddleman, and let me just say this. If I were looking at ratings right now, Temptation would have better ratings than the Abraham Washington show.
You may be too generous.
Okay, Sex Wars would have better ratings than the Abraham Washington show.
Still too generous. How about some Quarter Life?
I got it. Infomercials would have better ratings than the Abraham Washington show.
Oh. Infomercials from the 70s.
Yeah. Back when we were hawking Popeil's Pocket Fishermen. Anyway, let's introduce the crazies for tonight. First of all, we have the Frank Mir of the group, VRM.
Wow, you put me as Frank Mir and I'm picking Lesnar in two.
Brock Lesnar of the group, Jason Block.
John Cena's getting married this weekend. Does that mean he's giving up the five-knuckle shuffle?
Oh, come on.
No, just no.
That is just wrong.
Next up, the Drew Carey of our show, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Except for I'm not from the mistake on the lake.
I don't get it.
I do.
Cleveland is a mistake on the lake.
Just ask the Indians. They never win anything, except in the movies. Then we have the Gina Crush Carano of the group, Nikki Heyman.
The mistake on the lake is referring to the city of Cleveland. Now, who in the world would call their city Cleveland? Besides barbarians, Visigoths, and maybe some really, really angry Indians.
I don't know.
A bunch of dogs called the Browns.
Browns. Second worst team in the state. I'm a fan of the worst.
Yeah, how about is it when you're the second worst team in the state and the best team is the Bengals?
Never.
What?
And finally, we have 740. I don't know who this guy is.
It's DJ.
Hi, DJ.
I don't
you
even
keep
play
forgetting
for the
who he
Pirates,
is.
And they tried to trade me this week.
Ah, okay. We call you the Mike Goldberg of the group.
Sweet. I can broadcast Raw maybe next year.
Oh, yeah. To be honest with you, Mike Goldberg, if he's listening right now, don't go to WWE. That's a huge step down from UFC. At least all your pay-per-views do big business. And plus you're respected. And plus you're respected still. I mean, unlike most WWE people, you can actually get on SportsCenter and talk about your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we move on?
WWE is a ref.
We should move on because we got this. As we pay Ed Kaloff a royalty fee for using that. Sad days here when it comes to some of our favorite wrestlers either leaving or getting injured for long stretches of time. In the recent big tour, Edge, torn Achilles, out for the rest of the year.
Damn it.
Matt Hardy.
Intestines blowing out of his stomach. Ow.
Yeah.
Out for a year.
What? Whoa.
That doesn't sound right.
No.
Out for a long time.
No, what I heard.
No.
Do not give out time frames when he hasn't given out time frames.
Oh, he hasn't given out a time frame yet?
No.
I'm just taking a prediction that he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, but you said
a year. A year seems way, way, way too long. From what I heard, abdominal tears are like 6 to 8 weeks.
And also, the edge injury is the more serious of the two.
I know, that's why I said it first. Out for 6 months. He won't be back until at least Royal Rumble.
Which puts him on
very interesting terms. And then we have some potential departures. It has been reported that Rey Mysterio has given his notice.
Well, okay. Source.
Really?
Source.
Wow.
Whoa.
And Jeff Hardy...
Whoa. Before you go on, where is your source on the Rey Mysterio news?
I think it's PW Headlines, I believe. I got to look it up.
Because if it's anyone outside of the big three news sources, I would take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
I'd take it with a Z on the end.
Yes, as
Jeff
WrestleCrappers say it.
Jason, do have a question for you. What are the big three? I know it's Wrestling Observer, and there's two others I can't think of right now.
PW Insider or either One Wrestling or OOWrestling.com. Those are the only four sources I trust. Any other ones are basically bullshit.
Right. Even Gerwek? Kupo?
But
then again, Gerwek does take a lot from the Wrestling Observer, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Is Figure 4 Newsletter, or Figure 4 Online, is that considered Wrestling Observer? Since
exactly.
Yeah, they merged.
Okay.
Yep.
And Jason, thank you for the props on OO Wrestling. Skaya doesn't jump on news unless he's got plenty of proof, so...
Yeah, exactly. OO Wrestling used to be known as the News from Dayton, and he is one of the best wrestling source news and wrestling opinion writers in the business. Rick Skaia is awesome.
And pure speculation here. Is Jeff Hardy still not signed a new contract yet?
Jeff Hardy has said either yay or nay. He is going to wrestle the Night of Champions. We all know that. I don't know if he's going to go past SummerSlam, but... Let's go back. First of all, I don't believe Rey Mysterio is going to leave. I really don't.
You don't?
No, absolutely not. Because Rey Mysterio is the guy who they moved to SmackDown because SmackDown is the number 7 show among Hispanic viewers over all shows across the net or across the dial.
Okay.
So there's no way they're going to do that. However, the more interesting injury, so to speak, is the Edge injury, because Edge and Chris Jericho were given the belts, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, because they wanted to spike the ratings all over the shows, and now Edge, you know, is hurt. Chris Jericho, by the way, is having the best wrestling news of the week, having basically a Twitter war with Mike the Miz.
That was hilarious.
Joyous times indeed. By the way, welcome to the show, Typho and Fourth.
Hey.
How's it going?
Typho being the Dragon Machida of the group, and Fourth, of course, being the Abraham Washington of the group.
Oh.
That's not.
Thanks for the welcome there, Bless.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, what are they going to do with the tag belts? Do you see Edge turning face? Do you see what do you guys see happening? Just throw it around, everybody.
I think speculation that he was going to be turned.
Well, Edge gets his turn automatically when he comes back, just pretty much on a returning hero role.
Go ahead, Nikki.
No, we're thinking along the same lines. I think Christian could probably sneak over and just flip right back into place. Put vitamin C back together and get them going.
Yeah,
oh, that would be
like
awesome.
We talked about this a couple nights ago, I believe, Nikki. Yeah,
but he does have the ECW title shot, correct?
Yes.
So unless they have him pull double duty, would that be feasible? I don't know. Are you talking
it could
about
be feasible. Jericho, Jericho pulled
Jericho?
Double duty on the last pay per view.
That's true. I have a question. Does anybody know where the Royal Rumble is this year? Is it at MSG or?
No, they haven't. Oh, no, wait a minute.
They have.
Oh, shoot. Didn't they just – was it Pittsburgh, I think?
Atlanta. I'm sorry. I just figured
yeah,
it out.
Atlanta, Georgia, the Phillips Arena.
Okay, because I was thinking maybe it wouldn't be the same arena. I was thinking maybe it would be MSG, but they could recreate the moment where Triple H came back in the Rumble. Instead of it being Triple H, it would be Edge, and he would get the huge pop, and that would automatically be kind of like his foray into being a face again.
Well, I mean, put it to you this way. Edge, how old is Edge? He's mid-30s, right?
Yeah, mid-30s.
Yeah.
Okay. Is an Achilles heel injury career-threatening?
As long as he doesn't do sustained running, it really isn't going to be a huge hindrance to him.
As somebody who's not a medical person, is the Achilles heel the same as the Achilles tendon?
Yes.
Okay. Well, because in sports, that's a long recovery time in mainstream sports. If you're a baseball player, if you're a football player, if it's your Achilles tendon, if you blow that out, that's pretty rough. So, I mean, him being in his mid-30s, I don't know how that translates over to wrestling. But like he says, it's not a lot of running.
To me, honestly, if you want my opinion, I think with a torn Achilles, I think your mobility is pretty much cut for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's basically the back of your foot is just floating in midair without it. You have no control over your foot without an Achilles tendon.
Wow. So, I mean, this is all speculation, of course, but this could be the downslide of Edge as a wrestler.
Hold on. I'm just going to go get an expert medical opinion on this. I'll be right back.
As VRM consults his doctor. By the way, I just want to I hate to go off topic here, but I kind of have to because this is kind of news. Well, just in case because we have a couple of gimmick changes happening now.
Oh, my.
Especially on SmackDown.
Oh, no.
Jesse, a.k.a. Ray Gordy, has gone back to a gimmick that he had in FCW and I believe in OVW.
Yep.
Ray Jeezy.
Didn't type up both on the boards?
Yeah. But here's the recent one, and this has really gotten my ire because this is pretty unfunny and it's pretty racist. Let me explain. R-Truth, the character, is gone. His gimmick has been changed to a guy that uses slang and has grills in his mouth, and his government name is Delicious, and he wants to be called Pretty Ricky. It's pretty much a crappy mashup of Lil Wayne, Eddie Murphy, and Chris Tucker. And
combined
to be honest,
with a sprinkle of crap. Who's that one guy from Coming to America?
Yeah. I think.
Let me Eric LaSalle.
Gene, I thought you were going to say a sprinkling of crap.
It's more than a sprinkling of crap. It was very unfunny.
It's a dusting.
Oh.
Creative at its best.
R-Truth? I thought for some reason, I thought Rick, they were giving that to Ricky Ortiz.
No. It's R-Truth.
There's also a gimmick change in FCW. They changed Lance Hoyt's name to Lance Archer, and now now he's going to be given a Robin Hood gimmick.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
Rospo.
He gets to wear real tights. Drew McIntyre is his tag team partner. Please make it happen.
Yes.
Free no, Lance Hoyt.
Typo's pissed. I can hear it in his voice right now.
I demand the freedom of Lance Hoyt at once. This is crap.
If he uses his twisting tornado powerbomb finisher and he just calls it the bullseye, I'll be happy.
But you were talking about returns of
Oh, Shawn Michaels is ready to go. Undertaker is about a month away. They say they're ready to go. Because of the injuries that are taking place, would you plug them in immediately, or would you hold off until after SummerSlam?
I say use them in the build to SummerSlam. I mean, these two guys put on a big-time money match at WrestleMania, and they've had about a good run of months to get off where they can kind of heal up and be with their families and everything. But I think if you had those two arguably put on the best match at WrestleMania, maybe the best match in the last 5 years, if you expect big buys for SummerSlam, they should be in the build to SummerSlam.
So after Night of Champions, you say build them.
Yes.
Yeah, Undertaker and Shawn Michaels will be both back after Night of Champions. I will agree with that.
I say this because if you take a look, to be honest, what I would do is have with the belt situations, I think the belt situations are okay. Just have Jericho go off on a little rant, and Jericho could square off either against Shawn Michaels or The Undertaker.
No.
Hold that off to WrestleMania.
Jericho Undertaker is your WrestleMania match. Bank it right now.
Agreed.
Bank it right now.
Right now,
agreed.
July 11th, 2009.
Wow.
Your 2010 WrestleMania Undertaker match, Jericho will be wrestling The Undertaker.
Okay.
Apparently, I had heard a rumor that what they wanted to do was when SmackDown was the next SmackDown taping, because Edge's injury happened after the double tapings. What they were going to do is on the next taping have Chris Jericho come out and run down Edge verbally, just saying, you know, I lose my title, I come back, and I think that we're going to be the two-man ego trip, and then you let me down and blah, 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 and run him down. Maybe even have Edge come out and attack him while he's hurt, and then have him, Edge eliminate Jericho in the Rumble, and those two, that'll be your Mania match, Edge and Jericho.
No.
That's another good one, though. And it makes sense, too.
I like Jericho and Taker, too. I agree with Jason. I've been clamoring for that since Jericho came back.
Well, as you know, Jericho has been, you know, Jericho, since he came back and once he turned heel, has had the best 2 years of his career, I think. Right now,
and Jericho and Undertaker have really had no interaction at all. I can't even say since Jericho's been back. I don't really remember them having any one-on-one contests. Nothing jumped out at me. Maybe they had a throwaway match on a TV show, but I don't ever remember it.
No, they haven't.
No, the streak is what, 17-0?
Yes.
Okay.
17-0.
Yeah, because Jericho will be number 18. Trust me on this. No, you know, he's one of the few people left, and it's also
like
fresh.
Like I've said, I've wanted Jericho this year. I want Cena in the next year, and then the last angle, I want it to be Ted DiBiase Jr. if he's still around by then, and they could build it on as Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase brought him in. Ted DiBiase Jr. is going to take him out.
No, he doesn't win,
but that's how they build the angle.
No.
I like the build. It's just the end's going to be the same. Undertaker's going to flatten Ted Jr.
Right.
And maybe even get his hands on Ted Sr. if he's around.
Yeah, but again, we're postulating way too far.
Yes, we are. Where were we?
we're talking about the idea that Edge is basically throwing a monkey wrench, so to speak, into this whole deal. Now,
yeah, it kind of has.
Now, again, we're still asking the same question this week as we have for the last few weeks. Is Jeff Hardy going to stay, or is he going to go?
If he goes, and this is just my opinion, you would have to do a new... I think you might have to do a Punk Michaels feud. Or maybe, to be honest, I don't know what they're going to do. Because Jeff has been like their number one or number two, actually their number one face.
Yes.
On SmackDown since when? Mid 2008? Or way before then.
January of 08, if you remember.
January of 08. Wow. All right.
Because remember, he fought Randy Orton for the title, correct? At Rumble. And lost.
Yeah, that was a Raw. That was Raw. That was the Raw main event then.
No. Yes, that was the Raw main event back then. But yes, because the main event on the SmackDown side, the world title, was Rey Mysterio versus Edge.
Edge.
Okay. And that was January of 08.
Yep.
So think of his build basically for the last, I would say, 18 months.
Hey, Jason, I would argue that it started before that because in order to face Randy Orton at that pay-per-view, he had to beat Triple H at Armageddon in Pittsburgh, and Mickey and I were there, and we never expected Jeff to win that one. So getting a clean win over Triple H, I would say that's when it's built, the pay-per-view before that.
And if you also remember, Jeff Hardy and Triple H were having a very good series of matches for the few months beforehand.
Yep.
Right.
And that Armageddon match, I'm just going to throw this in. I have probably two or three pictures. During that match, the Triple H was smiling. He was actually enjoying putting Jeff over. He really was. And you could see that in his work in the match.
But I think now Jeff Hardy is in the best negotiating position at the moment. I would think. But I still think that Jeff Hardy is going to go. I really think that Jeff Hardy just wants to walk and hit the beat of his own drummer. They could put it to you this way. Jeff Hardy could be the number one paid guy more than Cena, and he'd still walk, I think. I really do believe that.
Yeah. It's kind of going that way, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's move on to, yeah, it seems like this is going to be a developing story, and we'll continue to cover it in a couple of weeks, the next
okay.
couple of weeks. But let's move on to a new story that just developed last night on Impact. We have a couple of returns, and we also have a new champion.
Woohoo!
Hey.
Yes.
Let's start off with the return, which is, of course, Homicide coming back.
From a long injury, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, that's Hernandez. Homicide was the death in the family.
Okay.
Hernandez is the one that's injured.
Okay.
So, face off against the British Invasion. Invasion's pissed. And pretty much Homicide wins thanks to Team 3D holding back Brutus and Terry. Brutus, Terry, and that other guy, Doug Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So Homicide gets his case back, and he bails before Kiyoshi and Chika Abdul-Bashir lay the crap out of him. Lay the crap out of Team 3D. And then we also see the return of Sally Boy and, you know, McFoley's security, but that's enough of that. Now let's get to the main story. New champion. New knockout champion in Tara. Well done, Tara. Congrats.
Yes. She could call her Spider Woman.
Oh!
Well.
Yes.
You could.
Oh, come on. That was funny.
That was bad.
All right, fine. Tarantula Woman.
That's worse.
Ooh, Witchy Woman.
Yeah, there you go. She basically, what was it? Angelina and Velvet Sky had...
the entire beautiful people, you could say, had a tizzy over the spider. Where Velvet stated, and I quote, "If you don't help me out when it comes to that spider, then we are through." Pretty much Velvet Madison would be gone. So, par for the course, Tara wins, grabs the spider, begins to place on it, and Angelina just gets all freaked out and says, let her go! Let her go! I'll fight you! I'm the one you wanted to fight. I'll fight you. Victoria says, Tara.
There you go.
What is Victoria doing here in the impact zone? Anyway. Victoria, I did it again. Tara Rising said,
hey,
I won't put this
Triple H.
Fine. Tara basically said, okay, fine. You want to fight me? Put up your belt. She said, okay, I'll put up the belt. And got her ass kicked.
Yep, and Tara is your new champion. So pretty much the same match as last pay-per-view, except the belt switched. And now we get the announcement that Samoa Joe's advisor will debut at Victory Road. We will have those predictions
next
week's show. And we will we'll announce the winner of that pick'ems before we get to the fun stuff for the 100th show. And by the way, I'll just run down currently what the 100th show entails. We have a big room 101, where we're going to have some of the worst crap we're going to ever throw in, I think.
Yay!
We're going to have a huge discussion. It's going to be a monumental discussion, probably one of the biggest discussions we ever had. It's the difference between independent wrestling and its inner workings and the big companies and their inner workings and how it all varies. And we're going to have a couple of independent wrestlers talk to us about this, and we also have a couple of independent people who are non-wrestlers here right now to help discuss that, Jason Block being a ring announcer, Nikki Hayman being a manager / GM.
Well, and also that, you know, you're speaking of the independent wrestlers, two gentlemen that I've worked with, Astonishing Aaron Williams and Dustin Race, formerly of the Council of Champions at Insanity Pro Wrestling. Both of these guys have been up and down the road a bit. Aaron Williams is pretty much a new generation Jerry Lynn, probably one of the best high flyers I've seen on the independent circuit.
Awesome.
Dustin has some great mic skills, probably one of the most laid-back guys you're going to meet outside of Rob Van Dam, outside of the ring. And both were more than happy to jump on this. They were really excited about it, and I will be happy to remind them of their appointment when I run into them again in the next couple of weeks.
All righty. And then we have pick'ems for Night of Champions. And then we got the championship match of who's the biggest geek of them all, me or Jason Block, where each of us put up $25 of our own money in. Whoever out-knowledges the other takes it.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you said no around the horn, though, right? I don't believe.
With all the stuff we're going to have on that show, with the big discussion, Room 101, pick'ems, our competition.
No way.
And
no time.
No, there's going to be no time. We're not going. And plus, with this weekend, we are not going overtime because after that, on the next day, Saturday, I will be out of town. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to Lake Fair in Olympia with a few friends. It's going to be a marvelous time.
Awesome. Very cool. May I just bring up something? Because this weekend, if you don't mind,
sure.
Is the biggest, in my opinion, pay-per-view in mixed martial arts history.
UFC 100.
UFC 100 happens tomorrow night in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wondering why it's only at the Mandalay Bay, not the Grand Garden.
I don't know, but it is sold out. I know that much. And I know in New York there is going to be a viewing party at Radio City Music Hall with two MMA fighters. There's actually going to be a panel discussion beforehand, before the fight at 8 o'clock, because they can't.
By the way, I'm curious, though. I hate to get off the track of talking about UFC 100, but there's an underlying New York thing that news story when it comes to MMA that has popped up between me and VRM, the legalization of MMA in New York City.
That is
where they could actually hold events there.
That is in New York State, and I can actually bring that up. There has been if you have been following New York politics and VRM, you might know what the hell was going on.
Oh, he has.
We mentioned it. We mentioned it, how it's stuck and it's got to go through the entire process again.
Again, yeah. Because the UFC wants to play the Garden bad. They really want the Garden badly. I don't know how much Vince has something to do with that, but because if I remember correctly, during I believe Lesnar's debut match, UFC papered the entire advertisement wall for the UFC card at Madison Square Garden. I believe I told you guys that, if I'm not mistaken.
I know UFC 100 was papered for the Garden.
Okay. Well, with that, first of all, you will see UFC in – you will see mixed martial arts being legalized in New York State by either late 2009 or early 2010. I would think so.
From what I've read on there, it will be in 2010, but we won't have a card there till either late 2010 or 2011.
Right, but it will happen. But going back, there is going to be a viewing party. Some undercard UFC guys are going to be there. But you have three fights on this card that are basically main event pay-per-view quality. On
Lesnar-Mir.
What? Lesnar-Mir 2. You have, let me just pull the card up.
GSP Alves.
Yeah, GSP Alves and Bisping and...
Hendo.
And who?
Henderson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Bisping and Henderson. That is directly off of Ultimate Fighter.
Correct.
By the way, I don't usually watch much UFC. I admit I'm kind of a dense when it comes to UFC knowledge, but I watch The Ultimate Fighter.
Yes.
I enjoy The Ultimate Fighter. It's pretty much, to me personally, and I think, Jason, you'll agree, one of the few reality shows that's actually more entrenched in reality than most of what reality shows are called reality shows.
Yes.
This is actually more of a competition than most will say reality shows are.
And it does not feel scripted in that sense.
I don't think it's scripted whatsoever.
By the way,
sure, some of the scenes are drawn out a bit and it might feel scripted, but the matches, you know, I would love to see more U.S. versus U.K. or U.S. versus the world. I mean, if you remember clearly, we got our asses kicked.
Yeah, we did. U.K., I believe, won everything, pretty much.
Yeah, it did win everything.
Also, you also have Mark Coleman versus Stephen Bonner, too, in a nice...
That's only a prelim card. I don't know why it's only a prelim card, but...
But even so, here's the deal with this. This is the potential match for making Brock Lesnar a superstar. Plain and simple. Your uncle's client, Nikki, has the potential to be a superstar.
And that potential is going to put some serious-ass money in pockets. Now, it's a sold-out event. Just for giggles, I just went to StubHub. The cheapest ticket right now on StubHub is nosebleeds for almost $600.
Wow.
Nosebleeds, $600.
Now, you want a good seat, a seat like where I usually sit, second, third, and fourth row?
That's $2,500.
Triple that.
$7,500?
$7,700 for second row seats on the corner. Third row seats up to a set of four at $13,000 a piece.
That is, you know what? That is, if I put it to you this way, you're going to see some serious casino rake this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to see a lot of things, and I will bet you get 2 million views this weekend.
It's going to beat out.
At least. You are at least clearing one.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most important fight in UFC history. Because, Brock, by the way, your uncle has a new website at Crave Online, by the way.
Yes, he does. I am quite happy. I was quite happy to hear about that, and I've already bookmarked it. Even
okay.
if he spends half of his time looking at other chicks' boobs and trying to find out if they're real or fake.
Yes. But he also wrote a very interesting article about Brock Lesnar,
mm-hmm.
about his fight this weekend and how he is just ready to just kick some major ass. This is not going five rounds. There's no way this is going five rounds.
Mm-mm. It might make this round. Might.
Well, I'm sorry, might make what?
Three.
Yeah, it might make three. But I'm telling you this. Dana White so wants Lesnar to be the unified champion. He so wants this so bad it isn't funny. And you know who also wants it too, believe it or not?
Vince. Frank Mir.
No. Vince McMahon wants Lesnar to be champion.
Okay, that's interesting. Why?
What does... Because Vince McMahon can piggyback off of Lesnar somehow. I don't know how yet. But you know as well as I do that if Vince McMahon, if Brock Lesnar wins the belt, you know. Because Vince and Dana have worked together before unofficially, correct?
I don't know. Probably.
Indirectly, short of Vince allowed UFC advertising during Lesnar's first or second match.
Yeah, to use footage.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to you, Vince wants Lesnar to win too.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
get me wrong. He wants Lesnar to win.
Hmm.
Because if Lesnar wins, who made him the superstar first?
Exactly.
Vince.
Right on. Because Dana can claim him now, but Vince made him for star first before.
Yeah.
Because if Dana had built Lesnar from the ground up, he wouldn't be anywhere near where he is right now.
That's right. Because Vince McMahon made that 6'5", 275-pound monster who he is.
Yes. And I think of that promo with sitting doing curls with lighting scaffold equipment.
Ooh.
All right.
That was a good
promo.
I
want to put something up. We've already mentioned how much the tickets are worth. UFC 91's gate, their gate was 4.8 mil. How much is 91? How much is this going to be, the gate?
How much was the gate at 91?
4.8.
4.8. Where was it at?
Grand Garden.
Is Mandalay Bay less or more seat-wise?
I
think more.
No, hold on. It says there were 14,000 there, 14,000 plus there at 91. It says the capacity is 12,000, but I'm not sure if that's for like. Let me check the exact. Let me see if I can find the exact for.
Mandalay Bay Arena.
Yeah.
The Mandalay Bay Event Center. It's at greatseats.com. The UFC 100, believe it or not, the top seats are going for $17,500.
Yeah.
$17,500.
And the Mandalay Bay Event Center is a 12,000 seat arena.
Oh, they're easily going to make about 6-7 million gate.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selling front row for $17,500, and that's what
no,
about?
No. It's not official. Those are not official seats.
That's all scalping.
I would say it would break $5 million at a gate.
Yeah.
But remember, at this point, you're not just coming in, okay? You're not coming in for just the night. You're coming in for the weekend. You're coming to gamble. You're coming to drink, the whole nine yards. This is a big boxing fight. The Strip wants this bad. You know, this is all money.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a high-figure weekend, all told, but and just the, you know, just the gate for the show itself is going to be middle seven figures.
Yeah.
In another 8 figures worth of gambling, drinking, eating, hookers. Sorry.
Yeah, hookers.
It's legal there in Las Vegas.
It's legal.
Outside the city limits.
Not in Vegas, but in certain parts of Nevada it is, but yes. But now here's the question. Does Lesnar become the poster boy for UFC, or does Mir beat him?
Lesnar's got to win this
that's
one.
A tough one.
Lesnar's got to win this one.
Lesnar's going to win 3 rounds with a knockout.
Thing with this is that Lesnar has to be wary of the submission. It caught him the first time. now that he's had two more matches, granted he steamrolled over Keith Herring the entire match, and Couture he put down
and pounded
in the second
him.
Round.
And he caught him too, and then just pounded on him like a bass drum. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's falling. Couture is falling like shit. It's over.
You know, I mean, I saw it on. They replayed that, I believe, 1 or 2 weeks ago on UFC Knockouts or that syndicated show that they do.
Unleashed.
UFC Unleashed. Oh my God! He caught him and then just beat him. It was like, you know, he was like a caged animal. I'm serious.
Wow.
He only sit heel back.
Yeah. One thing I want to say is that one thing that Lesnar is going to have to watch out for is the strike to the back of the head, because that's what screwed him over in the first fight against Mir.
Yeah, but you also have to take consideration that was his first fight.
Second.
Well, was it second? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fourth for another promotion, I believe.
All right.
Okay,
let's move on.
Okay.
You guys want to move on, or you want to talk about this some more?
No, I think we're done.
Okay.
I mean, put it to you this way.
Yay.
I'm going to say Lesnar in three, and if he wins, he becomes the biggest MMA star ever in any way, shape, or form, and it's going to be awesome because Dana White is going to milk him for all he's worth.
Just imagine the money.
There is green. Put it to you this way, he could be a $100 million athlete, I think, Lesnar. He could
wow.
be. Wow. I really believe that. I mean, I really believe that he can make a ton of money in promotions. He can make a ton of money in, you know, for the fights and all that sort of stuff. Dana White has to lock him in.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. Who watched Raw last night? Who watched Raw on Monday?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
How great was Ted DiBiase as GM?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Mickey wanted to see the polka dots.
I wanted to see the polka dots bad. I so wanted to see the polka dots.
And he was exactly right, too. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, bar none.
Yeah, I think he's getting in this year.
He will get in this year. He will get into 2010, and it was great to see the $1 million belt. He just took it. He had fun with it. He made it, you know, but he didn't know whether he was going to be heel or face, though.
Does it really matter with Ted?
No. It was a lot of fun. It was just one of those things where you just let it go. It was a nice nostalgia pop. And the best part about it is no Vince McMahon.
And here's my question to you. If Chris Jericho said that Ricky Steamboat is better than 80% of the workers out there, then how many percentage of the roster do you – or how much of a percentage of the roster do you think DiBiase is a better talker than? It's got to be
95%.
It's got to be up there too.
Yeah, because –
go 85%.
Actually, I'm going to do one better. Are you talking just Raw roster, or can we lump in Jericho and Edge?
Everybody.
Yeah, the whole
everybody,
WWE.
Then it's 98%. Because I think Jericho is a better talker than DiBiase right now. I'm judging by right now. Jericho right now is a better talker than DiBiase. Edge, I think he's on par with DiBiase when it comes to promos.
Here is the problem with the promos, okay? And they are so within the box that they are given. They are not allowed to be freeform. They're not allowed to be PG-13 or R-rated. They're just allowed to get point across, be robotic, and just get it across. That's all Vince is doing. It's sad, but when you have, I mean, you had talkers in the 90s like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H when he was just free with the whole DX mode, the whole nine yards. Sorry, it's just,
mundane.
But yeah, I mean, there are very few promo people out there right now that can cut a promo, that can really tell a story via their voice. And you're right, Jericho and Edge are the only people who can do it right now. You know?
Yeah. One of the moments... You think Hunter?
I think Hunter's a good promo man, but they've got a point. If I'm saying if he was allowed, as in, granted, he has to be a little more risque to get his point across. Shawn Michaels can get a good promo across.
Michaels has always been able to get a good promo across.
Who's that?
Mm-hmm. Michaels has always been able to get a good promo across, even when he was with the early stages of DX, when he became Christian, or even in the early days when he just became the Heartbreak Kid. And you could go even further back when he was with the Rockers, Marty Jannetty in both WWF and AWA.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I think there's a few more people out there that could be on par or better than DiBiase than you're giving credit to.
Yeah, we're just talking about the Raw roster right now. Well, I'm certain there's more wrestlers out there, like on SmackDown, ECW, TNA, Ring of Honor, Independent Circuits, that might be a better talker than DiBiase.
I was going to limit it to WWE. I was only limiting it to WWE because we could be here all night. And unfortunately, one of the better talkers, we haven't seen in a few weeks. Where the hell is Santino?
True. Where's Santino? Who are some of the better talkers in TNA? There are not many.
Let's see, Daniels?
Maybe.
I would say Raven, but he's gone now.
Dr. Stevie's pretty good.
Stevie's good.
Bubba when you let him.
Bubba when you let him. Sting, maybe.
Now, why do you think there are not that many good promo guys out there anymore? Why?
Because mainly when it came to the 90s and the mid to late 90s, I think we're still attracted to the muscle guys. Some wrestlers are attracted to the muscle guys, the more charismatic, enigmatic guys, you know, getting off based on looks. You know, some of the most, unflattering guys you saw out there were killer on the mic. I'll give you a great example of someone who wasn't that great looking, but his gimmick and his persona, and he was one of the best talkers and best performers out there.
Oh.
Exotic Adrian Street.
Okay. Here's the deal, though. I'm talking mainstream now, okay?
It's become too scripted in WWE, mainly because you have a creative team who's... Haven't we discussed the WWE creative team that is an ex-wrestlers mainly? I mean, Brian Gewurz, I'll leave aside right now because he's been there since God knows when.
Here's my take on it. You have a lot of wrestlers on the Raw roster, on the ECW, on the SmackDown roster, who have come up in recent years from OVW and from FCW, and instead of having somebody like a Paul Heyman who, like, for example, with Ken Kennedy, gave him the idea to do the Mr. Kennedy, who helped people kind of develop their characters and their personas, you have him now on the sidelines, and you have somebody like Steve Kern, who I can't remember a memorable promo that he ever cut as Skinner or else. And you
ooh,
have
don't,
him
don't remind me about Steve Kern, especially in WCW. Ugh, bad attitude.
Hey, why do you think Billy Kidman's in FCW? He's working on them with their promos.
That's not my
Roman opinion. Smiley's
the
there, too!
All I can think of is when he's having promos against Hogan during New Blood.
Yeah. Hey, Smiley's there, too, and he knows how to cut great promos. He knows how to be entertaining.
Well, he's teaching him how to dance.
Little girl.
Oh. Speaking of talkers, and why I got on the subject of talkers, we go on Raw with a high with DiBiase to an absolute bottom of the barrel with ECW and Abraham Washington. 2 weeks in a row, still unfunny, still not entertaining. However, there was some entertainment in the fact that Tommy Dreamer just pretty much owned him on the mic.
Sorry, I missed that part. All I heard was Abraham Washington telling fat jokes. I muted it and I went back to sleep.
What I want to know now is what's Abraham Washington's name on the WrestleCraft forums, because he lifted all our material.
Wouldn't be Delirious too, would it?
Bash!
Shame on you, sir. Funny, but shame on you, sir.
Well, when I get my dish back this week, I will definitely try and check that out. But it's just like, to me, they're not allowing him to be him, and that's a problem.
It gets worse. I'm not just talking about ECW here with Abraham Washington. Recent tapings of FCW,
mm-hmm.
This report, these spoilers came in. He got X-Pac heat.
Oh, no.
Whoa. I didn't think anybody could match that.
If you're not getting over in a crowd of, how much is it? You know, 400 or 500. What, rough estimate, 400 or 500 who are at an FCW tapings, probably even less than that.
Probably.
If you're not getting over with good heat.
To be certain, Rob, X-Pac heat, now that is not just booing you because you're being a good heel, just booing you because they hate you and you suck. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You're being booed because you are so bad, we don't want to see you. Not just, oh, you're a heel, we hate you. It's get the fuck off my television.
That's pretty much what they got. He got an FCW. He
just wanted to clarify for people who are out there who don't know what X-Pac heat may be.
Yeah, the jingoism of X-Pac heat.
I
think it's right up there off the Conway Pop.
I'd rather have X-Pac heat than the Conway Pop. At least you're getting something.
Yeah.
So, pretty much. And I want to talk about the other New Talent Initiative people who seem to be going on pretty well. Yoshitatsu had a great match with Shelton Benjamin on ECW. Where were Sheamus and Tyler Rex this past week? Were they on Superstars?
Tyler Rex was.
Sheamus was not.
Sheamus was probably getting a tan somewhere and failing miserably. Thank you.
It bounced right
he's
off.
He's clear.
Even though he wasn't on TV, he was working the Australian tour with the Raw crew.
And also, you had another appearance from a certain someone's favorite hero.
Hey.
Hero?
Oh, good Lord. If Chris Hero got a WWE contract, I'd ask to do the show early. No, we have another hurricane sighting backstage as he rescued a poor stagehand who fell off a ladder.
I enjoy how they apparently do not recognize him at all. Like, hey, it's a masked man. Who is that?
Well, let's face it.
3.5 years, the fan base has turned over since then.
Well, pretty much.
How about the return of Big Zeke on ECW?
Oh, man.
That's okay. You know what?
Johnson.
What? Someone say Ahmed Johnson?
I said it.
No. Big difference.
You could understand him.
Yeah, that's the difference. No, another big difference.
He hasn't been
Ahmed
hurt
yet. Yeah. Ezekiel actually knows how to wrestle. Ahmed Johnson does not.
Okay.
But, no, look, you know, you need a squash match, and you need to bring him back as, a monster heel. You know, Kozlov can't be the only monster heel.
I think you could build up Ezekiel as a monster face. I mean, he's that soft-spoken guy. I mean,
well, you can't build a soft-spoken. Well, the only other muscular, big African American face is now on Raw.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but.
And your African American heel on ECW is Shelton Benjamin. Yeah.
I mean, if in 1997, 98, Bill Goldberg could catch on doing what he did, I don't see why now Ezekiel Jackson could not catch on doing what he did this week on ECW.
I don't disagree with you. You build him up as a monster. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jason.
You know, I'm just saying that you need people who are these monster guys. You really do. Because the reason why a lot of the ECW guys succeeded over the past year, we're talking Hart Dynasty, Evan Bourne, who else moved over?
Swagger.
Kofi Kingston,
was they were built up. ECW is the developmental Fed for who they're going to bring up in 2010 and beyond. And I think that's great. I really do.
Right now, out of the 5-6 that you saw debut this past couple of weeks, let's say it's draft 2010. So we're 10 months out.
Okay.
Who gets transferred and or where? You'll start with, and by the way, another acceptable answer is future endeavored. Yoshitatsu.
I think he'll stay there for the time being.
I'm going to say it's still on ECW.
Still on ECW?
Yeah.
I agree there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be higher up on the ECW food chain.
He'll be ECW main event, I think.
Okay.
Or very close.
Okay, let's get it over with right now. Abraham Washington. Should we all say Endeavor?
Endeavor.
Repackaged.
Yeah.
Ooh,
if they don't change his gimmick, he's gone. If they change his gimmick, he'll still be around.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is sad.
Because he can be gone. Way better than what he's being right now. They just have to figure that out somehow.
They won't.
Probably not.
Tyler Rex.
He'll be doing Raw with Ricky Ortiz.
He'll still be on ECW.
No, you know what?
I'm going with Nikki on this one, SmackDown.
Yeah, I'm going with SmackDown, too. I think Tyler Rex has a very, very big potential here. If Zach effing Ryder can woo-woo-woo his way onto the ECW lineup, Tyler Rex can get a job and stay there.
I say
future endeavored, because if Colt Cabana can't stick on one of the main three shows, then Tyler Rex shouldn't be sticking on one of the main three shows.
Cabana got kicked out on circumstance. I think he will, if he can find his way back in, he'll be back in a year, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with Zeke, Big Zeke.
Raw.
He'll be on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Raw.
Yeah.
Zeke has the one with the biggest potential. He is the one, because Vince loves his big guys. And Zeke, if he continues to improve and continues to be the monster guy, boom.
And finally, Sheamus O'Shaughnessy.
He'll be reunited with his enabler.
Yeah.
He'll be
on ECW. I want to see that feud with him and Finlay.
Which means
he gets moved to SmackDown.
No, Sheamus stays on ECW and becomes one of the main guys, and then in 2011 goes over.
Okay. With that said, I think we had a pretty good show tonight.
I think we did all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially
a
little bit of everything.
Yeah.
We never did our plugs.
A little bit of everything. We got some big plugs to take starting now. This show was one of the forefathers of the WrestleCraft Forum Radio Network, which has seen a surge and has kind of reformed itself now from the class of 2008. In the class of 2009 now, we have VRM Show, WrestleCraft Sports Digest.
Wednesdays we've moved to a new permanent time. Hopefully it stays permanent at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, mostly because Edge is always seemingly unavailable around 8 Eastern.
Then we have Tuesday Night Typho.
Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
And then we have a couple of new shows to talk about. We have the Bulk Cast, which is all baseball talk with our dear friend Andy Duke. And then we have Shooting the Shit with Annie and my dear friend Dude. And And then you have this show, the cornerstone of the WrestleCrap Forum Radio Network, the North American Wrestling Connection. And with that said, we're out of time. So, VRM, Jason Block, Typho, for Snapboy Josh Henninger, Nikki Heyman, and DJ, I am Robert Sadelman saying,
it's good night, folks.
Oh, right. Good night, Dick.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.